The gospel lesson this morning is taken from John in the fourth chapter, and I'll be beginning at the end of verse 3 and reading down through the end of verse 14 this morning. And this is from the Message, and I invite you to listen. This is the good news about Jesus. And so Jesus left Judea, going to Samaria. And to get there, passing through Samaria, he came to Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" Jesus' disciples had gone on to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead speaking to a Samaritan. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is very deep. So are you going to give me this living water? Are you a better person than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. But I will give you water, and out of you will flow rivers of flowing living water that gushes forth with eternal life." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. We are grateful that you have not only called us to be your people, but you have also promised us something that's worth remembering that will never end, that you satisfy our hunger and thirst in ways we can't imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. In a coastal community like Cape May, we really depend on the water. As you may know, Melissa and I live in Ocean City, and that's actually an island. And so our little community is actually surrounded by water. But you know, when we think about the water around, say, the point here at Cape May, or say, on an island like Ocean City, we often think about the land holding the water back. But you know, the recent storms that we've had reminded us that actually we need these barrier islands and this ground, because if not, the water would just swallow us whole. Last week when we had the rains on our street in Ocean City, we had about a foot of water flowing down the street in front of our house and the little alley behind, and it was just flowing strong as could be. Earlier in the year, when we had some bad rains or a melt-off after a storm, we actually had two people in a canoe with a dog on the front in a boat, a canoe going down Simpson Avenue there right in front of our house. It's amazing. We really depend on water. Water is not only our livelihood in our businesses and economy, but of course we can't go a day without drinking water. Jesus was on his way to go to a part of the area. Israel sort of divided, sort of like upper, middle, and lower township. It was an area broken up into three different sections, the lower part being Judea, and the middle part Samaria, and the upper part was Galilee. It was mostly by all the water up there in Galilee. And so Jesus, in going from Judea, where he was, say Jerusalem, and heading north to Galilee, like say where he met the disciples by the water in the boat, good Jews would actually go around Samaria in the middle in order to get to Galilee because they didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. You know those people. Like those people in Middle Township. You know them. Those rascals. Imagine that. Say we were going to go from Lower Township to get to Upper Township. But we had a little attitude about Middle Township. Now, back in the day, Middle Township was settled by who? Upper Township was settled by the Friends. The Middle Township, M for Methodist, that's right, that's how I remember it, were the Methodists. And Lower Township by who? Presbyterians. May they live forever. That's right. So we don't like those Methodists. Oh, I'm sorry, Nancy and Guy. Apologies to our Methodist friends. We love Methodists. But just imagine we didn't. And so we're trying to get from Lower Township to Upper Township, but we can't go through Middle Township. How would we go? How would we do it? I guess we'd have to go in the water, because there's absolutely no other land route anyway in order to get from one to the other. But that's what Jesus faced when he was on his way to Galilee. Most good Jews were taught, avoid those Samaritans, those no good people. They worship kind of funny. They're a little different than us. They have different traditions. They eat different foods. We don't want to mingle with them. You stay away from Middle Township. And so, ordinarily, when Jesus said, and he's in Judea, he says, hey, disciples, let's go back up to Galilee. They would just figure that they'd just be walking straight up, and when they get near the border of Samaria, they would take a right or a left, and they would go out of their way to go around that middle area in order to get to where they were going. You know, Jesus, he didn't follow the rules very often. That is, those man-made rules. Those rules that said you need to do a certain thing on a certain day and eat certain foods on a certain day, wash your hands in a certain way, show up at the temple on a certain day and do certain things. He didn't follow all of those like that. And so when he approached the little border of Samaria, Jesus kept going. Imagine what the disciples thought. What's wrong with Jesus? Doesn't he know where he is? Is his GPS like out of whack? Does he not realize that five more steps he'll be in the land of the Samaritans? Jesus kept going. And he kept going. And he kept going so that it's already the middle of the day. It's in the sixth hour, around noon. The sun is blazing down. The disciples, they might have been in friendly territory had they gone around like they were accustomed to doing. Stay in those more friendly communities getting around where they were going. But no, this particular day, Jesus was on a mission. He was going straight for Jacob's well, which happened to be in Samaria. But it was an honored place, of course, Jacob, Jewish. The Samaritans simply had a different family tree. They were raised differently. They had different customs around worship. And so going through Samaria, Jesus comes to Jacob's well, and Jesus sends the disciples off to go get lunch. And Jesus is just sitting there, looking down at that well, saying, wow, I'm really thirsty. And the woman comes out in the middle of the day. Now, most people don't come to get water in the middle of the day. They usually get water in the early morning of the day or late in the day. The water's cooler, it's more pleasant outside, it's just a lot easier. So here is a woman coming in the middle of the day, and we learn from the story, and you can read the rest of the Gospel of John on your own, that in the middle of the day, this woman was coming because, well, her moral code was a little different than most of the community accepted. And so she came out in the middle of the day because that was the only time of day when all the other women weren't there. And she would go out and get her water at noon when she knew she wouldn't have to see a soul, talk to anybody, or receive any of their insults or feel like they're just indignant with her around. And so she finds Jesus there, and Jesus says, I'd like some water. And the woman says, well, my gosh, do you know who you're talking to? You know, your eyes okay? You know, the sun blinding you? First of all, I'm a woman, and gentlemen don't talk to women like me in the middle of the day. And secondly, you're Jewish, and you're here in the middle of Samaria, and you're asking me for a drink? What's wrong with you? And besides, where's your bucket? What are you going to put the water in? I mean, surely you must know that Jacob's well, And yes, that's the Jacob of that same Joseph, the Jacob's well of renown in history, that you must know that you can't just reach in and grab some nice water. You've got to go deep, because that's where all the clean water is. That's where the spring water is to be found, way deep in the well. Jesus says, yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I don't have a bucket. I'm really thirsty, but there's something that you're missing, he says to her. He says, you know, if you knew exactly, you know, who I was, and maybe you would think a little differently about the conversation that we're having. Because although I am thirsty, and I would appreciate you to share your bucket just to get some water in me, there's water here that you're not noticing. There is, in fact, living water. Water that is eternally pure. Water that's eternally available. Water that, in fact, when you drink it, it actually fills your spirit so that you're just refreshed from the very core of your life. And he says that's the water that keeps coming. It's a sustainable water supply. It's not a well that will go dry at the end of some time. But this water I give you is the kind of water, not only is it fresh and clean, but it lasts forever. So that your thirst will never come back again. And then the woman, you might think too, I mean, everybody's out there to get water, right? Now Jesus is pointing out to her that actually there's water you're not even thinking about right now. And that I can give you this living water. Not old, tepid water that might be dangerous to drink. And I got up there, the water I offered the kids, which by the way was just some coffee, but the dirty water. Who wants to drink dirty water? Nobody would want to do that. And Jesus says, I offer you pure water, but it's water for your spirit. Water for those moments when you just feel like you can't go another step. Those kinds of feelings or the kind of place we're in when our hope is just almost lost. When we're finally facing that same challenge yet again, and we just, not again. And we try our very best and we just keep plugging away, but it wears us out. Jesus knows about those times in our life when we just can't take another step. We're just parched. We're parched in our spirit. We just can't possibly take another step. So Jesus says, I have that kind of water for you. It's available to you. And guess what? You don't need a bucket. Because the water that we want to get, we've got to make sure that when we're trying to satisfy our thirst, that we're not putting our bucket in the wrong well. That we're not trying to satisfy our thirst in other ways that will not last or satisfy. It's sort of like drinking something salty or eating something salty, and then you reach for a soda. You know, a lot of times all the sodium in the soda just makes you feel more thirsty. You know, try telling that to a teenager. It totally doesn't work. But we need to realize that there are certain things about our body that when our body gets thirsty, we need real water. And so the woman there goes and talks about in the passage saying that Jesus, well, you know, I'm a Samaritan, and the Samaritans, you know, we worship God differently. And if you don't mind me saying, we worship God better than the Jews do. And certainly, you know, you would really have something to learn from us. And Jesus does not argue with her. Jesus is simply there. First of all, he's there for a drink. He meets someone, a wonderful surprise, and then this woman goes off on this little side conversation about the technicalities of the well, where it's located, and that the Samaritans actually are far better at the spiritual water that you're talking about than the Jews are. And Jesus says, well, just remember this. That it doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter whether you're from Upper Township, Middle Township, or Lower Township. It doesn't matter if you were born in Samaria and like it, or you're born in Samaria and hate it. What really matters is that God loves you right where you are, and you don't need to relocate to get a blessing. that you don't need to be in some special place to get blessed. You don't need to have the actual go, oh my gosh, where am I going to find the water this morning in order to quench my thirst? The kind of water Jesus offers our spirit is available wherever we are, and you don't need coupons. It's the kind of water that you never misplace. It's the kind of water that when you pick it up, whoa, that doesn't look so clean. Whoa, whose water is this? How many times have you said that around your house? Who drank this water? The cap is off it and it's half gone. You know, we don't usually argue too long about that bottle of water, do we? It goes in the plants is where that water goes. You know, empty bottles of water laying around the house. Not a good thing. But then this woman was quite taken with Jesus, and Jesus says to the woman, wants to get her off the track of arguing about sort of how you worship the Samaritans better than the Jews and all of that. You have no right to ask me. And finally Jesus says, well, would you mind, you know, calling your husband over so we could have a family conversation? And of course the woman says, you know, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, that's right, you don't have a husband. In fact, you have many men in your life. And none of them are here with you right now. And Jesus didn't say that in a judging way. He wasn't picking on her. He wanted her to realize that even though she knew a lot about the Samaritan traditions, those middle township traditions, that what really mattered is that all those questions she had in her life, Jesus knew all those details. And Jesus says, that's right, you've answered correctly. That you don't have anyone else in your life right now. But I know all about your life. And this woman, you know what happened? She said, whoa, how did he know that? He knows something a lot more than the Samaritans know. He knows something about me and my core. He understands my life and the struggle that I'm in to lead a life of value and meaning. Jesus, oh my gosh, a stranger at the well knows all about me. Give me that water, she says. That's the water I want. I don't want to have to go in all these different wells to find meaning in my life. I want to make sure I have the living water in this core of my life and that my soul and spirit are really refreshed. And Jesus offers that water to her. He says, you can have it. You got it. It's yours. And then the woman, almost all of a sudden, gets up from her conversation with Jesus. The disciples have returned now with the bag lunches they're going to have for lunch. And the woman goes back down the road, back into town, and tells the people in the town, hey, everybody, I met somebody at Jacob's well today, and they know my life better than I do. And this man knows my life so much that he's promised to satisfy the core of my life, the spirit of my life, in ways that I can't even imagine. You should go see him. And with that, lots of people from the town came down to Jacob's well. And I bet Jesus had lots of conversations that day about the living water, about how God satisfies our deepest needs and it's always available to us no matter where we are, whether we're on an Easter egg hunt looking for eggs or whether we're in the middle of our day going shopping or whether we're in the middle of a classroom or the middle of a work conversation. Jesus says, I have what you need and it will never run out and you'll never be left high and dry. This Tuesday, or is it Wednesday, 22nd, is World Water Day. And it's a day that's designated by the UN just to bring awareness that there are millions and millions and millions of people every day that don't have clean water. And many, many more that have to walk a great distance even to get a little water. And we all have a part in helping to solve that problem as we conserve water, as we're mindful about water. And I want us on World Water Day just to offer a prayer for the people on our planet that don't have the luxury of just reaching over and grabbing some clean water. But remember that physical thirst is a serious problem that we need to solve on this planet. But there's a spiritual thirst as well. But that problem has already been solved. Next time you think about water, think about the living water that Jesus offers us. It's water that quenches and will never leave us dry. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you that you have provided for us what we need, and that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that in knowing us, you do not judge, you do not complain. You simply remind us that for whatever reason brought us to the well of Cold Spring Church today, that here we offer living water, that Jesus is here offering to satisfy our deepest thirst. Lord, the cells in our body needs water. So we pray for our world and ask that you would make water available to every person, and that those who search for spiritual water, water for their soul, that they would find it, and that we would have a part in that as well, that we might offer a cup of living water in Jesus' name. Amen.